Oh, yeah. She,
and that means I
started from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
What an opportunity.
And she was in a...
Meeting will come to order. I should tell you that Representative... is Representative Lanning on also?
Yes.
Representatives Mary Murphy and Representative Maury Lanning are on the phone with us. And Mary, I hope you can hear us a bit better than last time.
I can.
Good. Everyone be conscious of the fact that we have two. If they're picking up right from the microphone, it's going to be easier and probably the same for the people sitting at the desk there. Senator Rest was going to chair today's meeting, but she was called out of town on a family emergency. And so I'm pinch-hitting, and I'm just trying to catch up with what we have in front of us here today. And this meeting also will be streamed live on the House Internet. We want to welcome one new member, Brian Pease, from the Minnesota Historical Society, not new to the society, but new to the Capital Restoration Working Group. So welcome. Ann Rest and I had an opportunity last Friday, I believe it was, Mr. Kramer, to meet with Matt Kramer from the governor's office and had a sort of a candid discussion about challenges and direction over the next couple of months, and that was helpful for both Senator Rest and myself, and we appreciate that time. We do have a quorum, and Senator Fredrickson, if you would move approval of the minutes of September 9.
Madam Chair, I'd move approval of the minutes.
Any discussion to the minutes? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Those minutes are approved. Today we're focusing specifically on the question of LRT, and the reason it's relevant to us is because we don't know the timeline of moving forward with capital restoration, and clearly it affects some of the construction relative to LRT. We did suddenly engage in that conversation at the last meeting. And I can tell you, for most of us, there's feedback here. I'm going to adjust. For most of us, I think we seek funding for projects, but we don't necessarily get involved in the details of things. Last year, senators and House members began to be aware of the fact that this route went immediately to the north of the Capitol. And to make it possible for rail to work, I believe, on that incline, the incline had to be lowered, and that meant we have something of a trench on the north side of the Capitol. Senator Fredrickson raised the question of noise outside of the Capitol. I think you can probably address that today. That was one of the specific questions raised. And I think it also got us into the whole question of governance around decisions relative to the Capitol. And so some of that was reflected in our discussion and maybe as people speak to us today. So we'll have some discussion after presentations, and I think, does anyone, are you going first, Mr. Furman? Okay, Mark Furman, Project Director of the Central Corridor.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
We're joined by Steve Morris and Paul Mandel.
Yes, two of our closest stakeholders on the Central Corridor project, Ramsey County Regional Rail Authority, represented by Mr. Morris, and the Capitol Board, represented by Mr. Mandel. We work very closely with them in the recent past, and they will be able to shed some more of the historical perspective for you today, which I don't have the benefit of, since some of these discussions date back almost two decades about Central Corridor LRT here around the Capitol campus. So we'll talk a little bit about that timeline, but I think it's important to note that there have been open public discussions, debate, on Central LRT going back to the early 1990s when there was a LRT system map that was being discussed and debated for the entire region, including the central line between the two downtowns. The first half of this decade, then Ramsey County Regional Rail Authority took the project under its wing and advanced the project through an alternatives analysis and draft environmental impact statement phase, a required federal phase of these large rail projects. And then we'll speak at the conclusion of our overview on some of the current detailed design issues that the project is working through as it refines the design of Central LRT here at the Capitol. So there you have the timeline going back to the prior decade and first half of this decade. And in the last couple of years, the Federal Transit Administration approved the project to formally enter preliminary engineering the first of 2007. So we've been working aggressively on that for the last 1 3/4 years. We have now made our draft application to move the project into final design. We did that back the week that we last met with you in the first week of September. FTA is now reviewing those 4,000 pages of documents to assess our fitness and readiness to advance the project into final design. That's scheduled to occur in the spring of 2009. A year after that, we will then secure our full funding grant agreement, which essentially confirms the federal participation of 50% funding on this project. Start construction in 2010. It's four construction seasons, 10, 11, 12, 13, open for revenue service here on the Central Line in 2014. Reflecting on some of the history, thought it would be helpful because this was some of the questions at the September meeting of the working group here. Is where has LRT been assumed to run, on what basis? And those early studies had the train on I-94. And the train would come up off of I-94 here on the north side of the interstate and access the Capitol Hill area via John Ireland Boulevard. That did make a number of important assumptions of bringing the train to the south front of the Capitol. I'll show you a picture of that in a moment. Which required a large redesign and reconstruction of the south front of the Capitol. And then the train, after leaving the Capitol station, would head back down the hill to downtown St. Paul along Cedar Street. And here you can see that alignment where the LRT station would have been essentially at the south edge of the south steps at the Capitol, undercover, essentially, so to minimize visual impacts, but still the train would have been at grade as it came up to and from that station location. The outcome of all those discussions last decade was that there was not an advancement of that central LRT concept. Both state and regional agencies who were co-lead for this project could not come to a consensus as to where and how and who was going to pay for LRT, whether that was the Central Line, the Hiawatha Line, or any other line. And so LRT pretty much was put on the back burner for the rest of the 1990s. Early this decade, then, the LRT discussion was restarted at the leadership of the Ramsey County Regional Rail Authority. They created what was called the Central Corridor Coordinating Committee. I'll refer to it as 4C. I can say that easier. And it consisted of all the key stakeholders in the Central Corridor, both counties, both cities, Metropolitan Council, Minnesota DOT, as well as the University of Minnesota in the middle of the corridor. Through that process, there was developed a slate of 19 different review criteria that would help guide that 4C committee in deliberating what the best alignment, best location was for Central LRT. And a number of alternatives were developed, five kind of rose to the top that were then evaluated through the alternatives analysis process. And I'll give you not the full slate, but a sampling of some of the key criteria that were identified, clearly which would generate the best ridership, how best the population and employment centers would be served here near the Capitol and at the Capitol, how we would connect with other bus service that exists today, what the cost of those alternatives were, important in the state and federal eyes, how the historic resources would be impacted by those alternate alignments, traffic impacts along University Avenue and through downtown, operational impacts of the train, what impacts we would have to relocate that were encountered by the train alignment, and a number of other criteria that were evaluated.
Just because we have people on the phone, if maybe both of those mics were aimed at you, I don't know if the people on the phone are hearing this, but we'll try that.
Am I projecting okay to the folks on the phone?
I can hear.
Okay.
Okay.
I can hear.
Good, thank you. The alternative one that was looked at, now I should say that all the alignments were assuming University Avenue accessing the Capitol. And the question in the DEIS phase was how the train would then circulate around the Capitol campus. Here the alternative one shows the train essentially going eastbound on University Avenue, taking a southbound turn on Martin Luther King Boulevard, again with the station concept right there on the south side of the south steps of the Capitol building. The train then would continue downtown along Cedar Street. Alternative 2 took that southbound turn off of University Avenue on Rice Street and had the Capitol Hill Station on essentially along Rice Street on the west side of the State Office Building parking facility. The train would continue on down Rice and then over to 12th Street and across the highway I-94-35 on St. Peter Street. Alternative 3 took the train, again, east-west on University Avenue and took the southbound turn at Martin Luther King and put the station essentially at the bottom of the west steps of the Capitol building on the west side of the Capitol, and that would be the east side also of the Leif Erickson lawn area. The train then headed along the west front of the South Capitol lawn and headed across the interstate on John Ireland Boulevard. Alternative 4 that was identified was east-west University again with two stations identified, one essentially at Rice Street and University along University Ave. In this example, the train tracks stay north of the Capitol building and continue beyond the Capitol, eastbound, all the way over to Jackson Street, head south towards downtown on Jackson Street, and then the Capitol East Station was just on the north side of I-94-35, essentially at 12th Street and Jackson. The alternative 5 finalist that was evaluated is train alignment on University Avenue, again with Rice Street Station on University at Rice. The train continues north of the Capitol over to Robert Street in this alignment, heads south on Robert Street down to Columbus, makes a westward jog on Columbus to the Capitol East Station at this location, and then makes another southward turn at Cedar Street to penetrate downtown St. Paul. Now, all of these alternatives were fully evaluated against those 19 criteria, and some of the key points that arose in that evaluation were ridership, access of the train stations to the neighborhoods, both the residential neighborhoods and employment centers, the fact that there are 17,000 employees in the general Capitol Hill area, that's public employees and private, so that would include a Regents Hospital, Sears on the west side of Capitol Hill. What the aesthetic and historic impacts could be to the Capitol Mall south of the Capitol building. How we had multimodal connections between train and bus service. How many stations and where those stations should best be located. And then not so much to the working group here, but also how the train would access Union Depot, the future multimodal center for St. Paul. So the history of the review and actions of those five alternatives resulted in the CAP board in late 2001, about exactly 7 years ago, deciding that that alternative five was the preferred option, taking the train along University Avenue past the north side of the Capitol, south on Robert Street, with the station, two stations north of the interstate, one at Rice and one at Columbus. This had the advantages of maximizing ridership benefits created by this alignment with those two stations. It was also important that both of those stations would provide access to low-income and minority populations north of Rice Street. And it also avoided impacts to the historic nature of the Capitol Mall. The 4C group then took up that recommendation from the CAP board and reviewed all the alternatives on the table and concurred with the CAP board and also resolved to accept the alternative five as presented here, and that was then the preferred alternative that went into the much more detailed draft environmental impact statement process. That process took a number of years, a key point being refining the ridership forecast that would be approvable by the Federal Transit people. And in 2006, all the DEIS public hearings were complete, and the 4C group and Ramsey County Rail Authority recommended to Met Council the alternative five. Met Council in 2006 accepted and approved the alternative five alignment. That was then the basis for us to proceed with our application to the feds to take this project formally the next step in project development, and that's the preliminary engineering phase. And at the very end of 2006, FTA approved to do so. So why don't I just pause there, Madam Chair and members, as that's the overview of the history before I move forward and talk about more of the detailed design issues.
Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And looking at screen number 19, it shows the coming right down by the freeway where it takes a 90-degree turn. I mean, that's what I believe the CAP board approved, as opposed to if you go back to alternative 5, screen number 14. Mm-hmm. Looks like goes kind of north and west of those two buildings. Is that, somebody shake the cobwebs out of my brain here. How do we get two different drawings? Yeah. And
Madam Chair, Representative Holberg, I'll start the response and Mr. Mandel can elaborate upon it. Once we had that, what I'll call the alternative five alignment, as I've just described, part of the issue going forward here was to refine that design as to the location of the Capitol East Station based on some of the new state buildings that were designed and developed there adjacent to Columbus Avenue. And that the closure of Columbus Avenue did require the relocation of the station over to Robert Street, so it's really now at Robert and 14th. And so that was then taken back to the CAP board early this year on January 17th with that refined design and alignment, and the CAP board did in fact approve that adjustment, as you see on slide 19, early this year.
Representative Holbert.
And Mr. Mandel can help with this question. I think that this alignment was settled on way back when we did the planning for those two buildings, which was more like 03 or 04, I think. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Paul Mandel with the planning with the CAP board. Yes, when we we had adopted the alternative five, and when the planning then commenced for the Ag Health office building, the Freeman office building, and the lab, for a number of reasons, both security and vibration to the lab back then, we, in effect, de facto, approved the change then to straighten it out and take it to 12th Street. We reiterated that because we had never, I mean, we had done that because of the planning for the buildings, but not for the planning of the LRT. So we, we reiterated it this past January, but that decision was made at the time of the Ag Health office and lab building design. You are correct.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just getting confused with different drawings on the timeline because it wasn't quite as I remembered, so thank you.
Justice Anderson.
Well, I share some of the representatives' concerns and memory, and particularly is it, and I think you stopped too soon when you said you adopted alternative five, because if I, am I hearing you right, it's number 19 is which is adopted, and there's some difference in the location of the stations there, and I that's very key because, you know, 14 alternative 5 has that station located considerably more distance from the Regents Hospital, where there are a lot of people, and I was very concerned about it, and I thought that had been taken care of. So maybe you didn't intend to confuse us by stopping before you got to number 19, but I just want to be sure that's what we're talking about. Number page 19, not alternative 5. It's alternative 5 amended to what you have on slide 19.
That looks like a yes.
Yes, that is correct. And that was the outcome of those discussions in coordination with the CAP board and the legislature a few years ago, and now is part of the design refinement that we are pursuing in our preliminary engineering work.
I have a couple of questions. We, of course, always focus on that CEI, and we're driven by that because the federal government is driven by that. And when I think it was the neighborhood that first brought this issue to me during the session, and at the time we actually had a hearing in capital investment scheduled, but Met Council asked me not to because of the timing of things in Washington. But on 16, you said one of the positions is increased ridership. But Mr. Furman, I think when I met with you during session, you said there are two other issues. It is a higher cost, that route north of the Capitol and around by Regions would be higher cost and greater travel time. That's what I recall from our conversation. So that's two other issues affecting the CEI that weren't considered. You suggested ridership. Would there be a reason why you would dismiss cost and travel time as opposed to ridership?
Madam Chair, certainly we did not dismiss the ridership, travel time, or cost. All three of those factors are key inputs to the cost effectiveness index calculations that FTA requires. I highlighted ridership, you are correct, as that certainly elevated itself to show the greater benefits of the modified alternative 5 because of the better access for neighborhoods to the north as well as to the Regents Hospital complex. You are also correct that cost and travel time are important ingredients and factors in the CEI, but at the end of that analysis, it proved that ridership outweighed, the increased ridership outweighed the increased cost or increased travel time to ultimately be able to satisfy the cost effectiveness index, not to exceed threshold at the time, which was $23.99.
Just out of curiosity, was that before or after Regions built a humongous new parking ramp, those ridership projections?
Madam Chair, the ridership projections that were blessed by FTA were prior to the opening of the Regions parking facility up there at University and Robert Street.
When I introduced this, I said I had not been paying attention to details. We look at funding here. But I was always hearing from transit advocates who follow these things across the country concerns about this, and one of the concerns they had were the several sharp turns that this alternative makes. And I know you haven't gotten into the incline issue yet, but the other thing that they continue to talk about is a continuing concern about the incline. And they cite an incline in, I believe it's Portland, where in bad weather trains have difficulty with that incline, and that incline is less than this will be. And when I hear it from people who track these things across the country, it always makes me pay a little bit of attention to those issues.
Well, Madam Chair, I am familiar with the Portland TriMet system, particularly their west side line out to Hillsboro, where it does have the steeper grade issues. Most of the incline in that alignment, west side alignment, is inside of a tunnel. That part that is exposed to the elements, where they do have snow or ice from time to time in Portland, their grades are 7 to 8%. Our grades on LRT, our design criteria is not to exceed 7. And so with the alignment around the Capitol building on the north and east side, we've had to modify that slightly to stick within our design criteria. So our grade is between 6 and 7%, a little bit less than Portland.
Well, I think we have no more questions at this point. So I think now we want to get into probably the issue that is most troubling. So proceed.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Wanted to talk about some of the issues that we're working through now in close coordination with both St. Paul, Ramsey County, as well as the CAP board staff. And on slide 18, we itemized those key factors that we're working on, principally the grade that you just spoke to. Traffic operations, we want to make sure that vehicular traffic still is able to get through this area without really any encumbrance. We've talked a little bit about the alignment on Columbus and then the specific locations of both the Rice Street and Capitol East stations. So here you have the current approved alignment, as everyone has correctly observed, that we are working from to enhance and to further our design of the LRT. One of the key questions for us was on that grade, and how can we certainly keep within our design criteria of the train so that it does not get stuck on that snowy morning coming up from downtown, particularly as it heads west to Rice Street Station and over to Minneapolis ultimately. So we had to make some modifications and try to figure out what that was going to look like. So we'll speak to that. We also have the question of how the train tracks would be their location in University Avenue, whether it was center running, which was first assumed, or whether the train tracks would shift over to the south side of University Avenue to provide better and more direct access to Capitol Hill complex here. The question of the Capitol East Station, where ultimately that had to land. And then we want, of course, to be sensitive to any noise or vibration issues created by the train to sensitive state facilities, particularly at the Ag building that was recently completed. So here we have a cross-section, some examples of what we would show, and the cut for the trains. And the committee specifically asked at the September meeting, so if you were to stand on the north steps of the Capitol, what kind of trench or cut, the engineers will say, would exist directly north of the North Capitol steps? And here you have that cross-section. If you're standing in the middle of University Avenue, I'll go back here, standing in the middle of University Avenue, it's really a very modest cut, if you will, into University Avenue. What that does do is, as we said last time, it does not allow for pedestrian movement as exists today from Capitol Boulevard directly across University onto the Capitol Hill property. pedestrians will have to migrate east or west, east to Cedar, to the Cedar Street Bridge, or west to Martin Luther King to get to the south side of University Avenue. You also see here the two lanes of vehicular traffic at that same slightly reduced elevation so that they're at the same height as the LRT.
What I'm sort of struck by is the time frame here, how once this was determined, you sort of didn't go back to a previous step. When I look at slide 15, and the alignment considerations, one of them was impact to State Capitol Mall, and that was the south side of the Capitol.
Yes.
Once there was a determination that this route would now require this kind of change to the street, was there ever a step back to that stage to revisit it and say, knowing this, do we still believe that is the better route?
Madam Chair, any design is an iterative process. As you know, with your oversight of state building projects that come through your committee, and the same really applies to Central LRT in that while the focus of the DEIS process was to define and identify the best and preferred alignment for the train, that only at that stage of the project, Steve, would you say was probably 5% design? And so while we looked at the placement and alignment of where the train would go, we had not developed the design to the level of detail looking at the 5 or 6 or 7% grade that we had to stay within to keep the trains moving on that snowy morning. So we knew the train was going to be on University Avenue, but we had not taken it to the additional design detail, which now the project's 30-35% design complete. These are the sorts of design refinements that must be identified and ultimately satisfied as we go through the design detail of a project of this scope.
But does it, I guess my question is, when it becomes as, I mean, this is fairly extreme, does it ever cause you to say, we really need to go back and take this into consideration? I'm assuming, for example, this would clearly be one of the pieces that adds to the cost. And I know in the case of neighbors who are trying desperately for a few more stops along University Avenue, their cost is constantly cited for them. But in this case, we chose the higher cost route.
Madam Chair, if I may add, Paul Mandel again from the CAP Board. There are similar grade issues if you went to the original south of the Capitol building, because you're still rising from Cedar Street to University Avenue. Only there the impacts would be felt by all the pedestrians using the Capitol Mall.
And I don't think anyone's suggesting it would go right in front of the Capitol.
Okay.
I was looking more at something like where is the one that kind of does the frontage road, the 11.
I might speak to that, and I don't know if Steve.
If I look at 11, I think, boy, that looked
yes.
Efficient.
Madam Chair. The St. Peter Street Bridge at the time, and Steve might be able to elaborate on this, the St. Peter Street Bridge could not handle the LRT.
Or if it went two more blocks?
If it went two more blocks, you'd have a direct conflict with all the traffic entering both I-94 and I-35 at Cedar Street. You would be going contraflow to all the traffic coming onto the entrance ramps. So that was considered a major fatal flaw if you took it down that frontage road.
Madam Chair, Steve Morris, Ramsey County Rail Authority. As Mark mentioned in the beginning, you're kind of balancing a whole variety of alternatives in looking at these sorts of things. But we really did want to serve the Capitol area pretty broadly. And unlike when it was coming up from I-94, if you went to the front, if you went something right in front of the station, it would be then hard to justify a station at Rice Street as well. So you would tend to potentially lose out in serving that Rice Street neighborhood And you would not serve the area kind of in the eastern part of the Capitol Complex or Regents Hospital very well. So those were kind of some of the balancing acts that went into an alternative that ended up with a station kind of to the west at Rice Street and one to the east.
Wouldn't it still stop at Rice Street, alignment 11?
Not typically. If you had something right in front, you would not, because you'd only have stations a couple of blocks apart then.
Well, let's just look at 11, for example. Where are you saying it would have stopped under alternative 2? Would have stopped at Rice Street where it turns south?
Madam Chair, you could see the yellow wave.
At
approximately Sears, just kind of south and west of here. And so you're only a block or two farther away from the neighborhood north of Rice Street, but you're quite some distance away from both Regents Hospital or the neighborhood north of Regents.
Please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The issue of the trench or the grade cut I wanted to elaborate upon, because in our discussions with the CAP board, they had stated that perhaps there could be some kind of pedestrian plaza or promenade that would bridge over the University Avenue area from the north side, the Department of Administration area, over to the Capitol building. And so while this shallow cut does not create a big impact, it's important to also note that the shallow cut preserves the existing pedestrian tunnel underneath University Ave from Department of Admin over to the Capitol. So we did not encroach upon that with this alignment profile. Under the deep trench, where that would have allowed the trains to be cut deep enough into University Avenue and allow for that pedestrian plaza over top connecting north and south of University, you see here that that directly impacts and essentially would cause demolition of that existing pedestrian tunnel underneath University Avenue. In this scenario, we preserve the cars up at street level but cut the train into the ground. And we did one other iteration of that where we expanded the cut to, I'll put in quotes, bury, but to put into the deep trench both cars and trains. And again, that directly impacts and causes the demolition of the existing pedestrian tunnel connecting the two sides.
And Madam Chair, if I could
Mr.
add, the idea of a pedestrian bridge, if you will, while it had been explored in the past separate from LRT, was only considered as an option because originally the plans, when they first came with a cut, did impact negatively the pedestrian tunnel. Once it was determined that they did not have to go that deep, that it was we weren't talking 2 or 3 or 4 feet, but we were only talking a matter of 1.5 to 2 feet, and the tunnel could be saved, we then dismissed the idea of the trench, if you will. Because the trench, we were left with a big question. You lost the tunnel, and you were left with the question, who would pay for anything crossing University Avenue, the bridge or pedestrian mall or whatever else like that? That was not going to be able to be picked up, or that was not part of the project cost. So the minute the engineers figured that they could avoid impacting the tunnel, we dismissed the idea of a pedestrian bridging over, since we could save the pedestrian tunnel.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rowling.
Thank you. If you had the trench deeper, though, how would it help with noise going around the curve? Because I understand that may be a bit of a problem. And also, how much would it reduce the grade if you came into that hill at a lower level?
Mr. Furman.
Madam Chair and Senator Roebling, a couple concerns there. First, you mentioned noise and vibration. Our studies show that by burying the train deeper into the ground, actually the vibration is likely to more propagate into adjacent buildings than keeping the train essentially at grade. So we can minimize vibration impacts by keeping the train higher. And then your second point, I lost it.
Was the grade. If you start out
the grade impact coming around, yes, thank you. And this deeper trench will have to begin its grade cut much farther to the west. And we looked at a couple different scenarios there where basically starting the cut west of Martin Luther King Boulevard, which then created problems for traffic access from University to Martin Luther King Boulevard, and we thought that was a non-starter. We then looked at starting the cut immediately east of Martin Luther King in the northwest corner of the Capitol property, and to get down low enough to accomplish all this, we had a significant grade and cut as soon as we crossed MLK eastbound towards this area. So we had concerns on both the vibration piece as well as the steep grade that would be necessary to get the cut low enough past the Capitol building.
Representative Holbert.
Thank you. On this shallow cut, what I'm assuming is what you're working with right
yes.
now, what happens to the parking on the northeast and northwest corners of the Capitol? Can you still get in those lots from University?
Mr. Furman.
Madam Chair and Representative, no, there would not be access from University. However, access would be provided from Martin Luther King on the northwest lot and from Cedar Street on the northeast lot. So access to those surface parking areas are maintained just from a different location.
And Representative Holbert.
Madam Chair, so they then would have quite a grade change. From Martin Luther King up to the parking. I mean, to get into the parking ramp, you're going to have quite, you're going to climb in, and I can't recall in Cedar if it's higher or lower, but.
Madam Chair, Representative Holbert, the Cedar Street access point already exists and is used by many people, even though originally it was supposed to be a one-way out. But you are right. For the Martin Luther King access point, it will have to meet ADA requirements, and it will also have to serve the needs of emergency equipment. But it will we will have access to that northwest parking lot from Martin Luther King. It's just a question of where it comes in for traffic purposes.
And Madam Chair, I'm assuming you're planning on losing some spots in order to accommodate that ramping and access.
Mr. Mendel.
We anticipate some spots, but we don't know how many. We're not at that level of design yet.
Yes, Representative Loffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it looks like we're kind of transitioning into talking about pedestrian access, but all the discussion has been to date about preserving the existing tunnel to Administration, which is our narrowest, tiniest little part of the tunnel system. And we've heard in earlier sessions of this working group from people who are security experts who have advised us strongly that we really need to have a dual tunnel system evolve, one that will handle the existing utility lines that are pretty vulnerable in the current system, as well as a newer one that would meet ADA requirements and better be able to handle the public's traffic flow. And it seems to me that we haven't talked about the need to both perhaps expand the existing tunnel as well as build a new one while this construction's going on. And since there's been a fair amount of discussion of a master plan that would take advantage of the north as the next opportunity zone for new state buildings, whether that was, I mean, there's been discussion of a legislative office building, a Department of Education building, all kinds of things. North of University, it seems to me that it would make sense for us to plant those tunnels in now during the construction and have that capacity. It could be used for pedestrians coming from the north, trying to get into the campus. It might even help the flow from the new Rice Street station into the Capitol complex. And could you address whether you started to look at those issues and how? What's the timeline we would need to tackle those items to get them into your planning?
Mr. Furman.
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, I'll start, but Mr. Mandel will need to supplement my response. We at the project office are looking to minimize our impacts caused by construction throughout the entire 10 miles of this project, and that includes certainly here at the Capitol and avoiding the impact to the pedestrian tunnel that we're talking about here. But in the same breath, I will tell you whether it's private utilities, public utilities, University of Minnesota, or State of Minnesota, we certainly want to work closely with you all to coordinate whether you have corresponding or concurrent work that we just caused construction disruption once. And so our work would be going on. Construction is slated to begin in late spring, early summer 2010. To start this work, so we would want to closely coordinate that with Mr. Mandel and the state interests if the state decides that they want to make modifications to the existing or supplement or construct a second tunnel, what have you, because it's in the interest of the taxpayers to disrupt that area and only rip it up once rather than have two different sets of projects go in there sequentially rather than all at once. So that's my first part of my response, Mr. Mandel.
Mr. Mandel.
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, I'm sorry. We are looking at that already. Department Administration and the CAP Board are working with the project with the project team and all others involved to not only protect the tunnels that exist, the Ford Building Tunnel and the Administration Department Tunnel, but also looking at providing for expansion of the tunnel system, widening of the tunnel system, inserting new tunnels that, as you mentioned, might connect with the Rice Street Station area, as well as connecting in with possibly the 14th Street ramp and the Ag Health Building, so that wherever the track is laid, any future tunnels that may be wanted would be either provided for now in the rudimentary form or structural, the necessary structural improvements to protect that area so that the tunnels could be constructed without interruption of the service and while providing for the for those tunnel locations. So that's already under discussion with the Department Administration, CAP Board, and the project team.
And Representative Loeffler, I think I heard them say quite clearly earlier there is no money in the Central Corridor budget for that.
That is correct.
Madam Chair, if I may just wait.
Mr. Yes, Wislowski.
Wayne Wislowski with the Department of Administration. I would say that we have raised that as an issue and as a potential cost of mitigation that we would like to see the project take on if there is a need for either a structural system now to accommodate the tunnel at Robert Street from the Freeman Building or across University from Lot B. We do feel that that is a mitigation that the project should be paying for. So that is, I think, an ongoing discussion point that we have with the Met Council.
Representative Loeffler, did you finish your questions earlier?
Well, I'm glad to hear that there is follow-up being done, but I really think that the last part of my question wasn't addressed, which is what is the time frame by which we have to really make decisions about sort of that master plan north of the Capitol in order to have those kind of accommodations made?
And I can tell you that's a question that, as chair of capital investment, gives me a huge amount of anxiety because we know what's on the table, what's pressing, and we just, you know, try to contemplate that amount of money in the next couple of bills. And so I think that's where I have a high level of anxiety. Mr. Furman, were you going to?
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Loeffler, I'll again begin the response to say that we will be assembling our construction bid packages in 2009 and going to the marketplace for bids during winter of 2009 leading into the beginning of 2010. In expectation of our federal agreement being executed in spring of 2010. So we would need to know if it's the state's desire to incorporate any of that work at your expense into our contract to have the most efficient construction methods undertaken. We're certainly open to that, and we always say funded by others, Mr. Wazlowski, but certainly we need to talk more about that. If the state wishes to undertake this construction on its own through Department of Administration, that's another option, but it would have to be closely coordinated to be prepared to be bid and awarded for construction season 2010.
Mr. Mandel, did you have further?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, as I said, we're still working on those design details, and we have spoken, Department Administration has spoken extensively and will continue to do so. I don't think it's a point of arrival yet, as no pun intended.
Justice Anderson.
In all your discussion with respect to shallow cut, deep cut, you always focus tunnel. If the tunnel were not an issue, just magically went away, what would be the preferred design? Shallow cut, deep cut? And the obvious thrust of this question is, to what extent is preserving the existing tunnel the main driver in the decision as to whether it's shallow or deep cut?
Mr. Mandel?
Madam Chair, Justice Anderson, speaking for the CAP board, our clear preference was for the shallower cut, or the 1 to 2 foot cut, because if you'll visualize University Avenue as it now goes down beyond the power plant, you already feel, I mean, you've got Cass Gilbert Hill and a retaining wall on one side and the power plant on the other, so you already feel like you're in somewhat of a depression to start with. The deep trench, if you will, and Mr. Furman can clarify if you have more, I mean, the clearance for the infrastructure for the LRT is, we're talking 20-plus feet, and that would be, from the CAP board standard, that would be a serious negative impact on anything north of the of University Avenue. I mean, you've almost got I-94 common section repeated immediately north of the Capitol. I mean, imagine 20 feet on top of what you've already got down the hill as you go past the Cedar Street Bridge. You're talking a major, major cut rather than an urban feeling to the street where it's more a visual impact. So our clear preference.
I think the answer to my question, let me say it, is that the taking the tunnel off, it's still the shallow cut is preferred for any number of reasons. Is that what you're telling me?
That is correct.
Okay.
It was that. Did you have any further?
No.
Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Mandel, when the CAP board acted on this last alignment, I'm assuming they passed a resolution with a bunch of whereases and therefores, and did the CAP board protect the state interests in the saving the integrity of the tunnel and any disruption to that not being the state's responsibility as far as costs go, et cetera?
Mr. Mandel.
I'm not. If you're talking about did we address the cost issues of who pays for what, I'm not. No, we did not, because we're not at that we weren't at that stage yet. They had, I think, already achieved the saving of the existing tunnels with the minimization of the cut, but we were not addressing the economics of the future installation or protection, if you will.
Members, that was always my question about to the governance issue. It almost looks like it went directly. Did it go directly from a CAP board recommendation to the Central Corridor Coordinating Commission? There wasn't any other stop, like Department of Administration or. I'm looking now at pages 8 and 9 when you talked about key issues, position, and recommendation. It almost looks as though it went directly from the CAP board to Ramsey County to the Met Council. So it didn't make another fiscal stop.
But, Madam Chair, I guess the CAP board serves as like the planning commission for the area, and you would hope that they would have the fiscal component addressed as well.
Did you have further question?
No.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Mandel.
I'm reminded that Nancy Stark our exec sec, when we that motion that we did pass at the cap board level did call for the full integration into the tunnel system. It did not separate out future versus existing, and it did not get into the fiscal impacts, but it did get into the physical impact, necessary connection to the tunnel system.
Mr. Morris.
Madam Chair, if I was understanding the question earlier, the Central Corridor Coordinated Committee that Mark mentioned earlier was the group that took the recommendations, staff reports, requests, and synthesized those into a draft environmental impact statement. So it didn't go back around again. I would like to take the opportunity to point out that when the Department of Administration was building the new buildings on Robert Street, instead of just building them, they did come back to us and talked about what the potential impacts might be and how to integrate that second station on Robert Street as opposed to Columbus. So there has been ongoing coordination and cooperation that's, I think, helped the project.
Representative Carlson.
Sorry,
Representative Holbrook.
Well, and I mean, just to that point, I think the CAP board was also pretty clear when we were doing those buildings that we would accommodate space, but we would not make investments of any infrastructure or upgrade that were necessary to accommodate rail, that those costs, in fact, would be borne by the Central Corridor Project, and that the state appropriation for those buildings were for those buildings. And because of good planning, we allowed for space and right-of-way and separation and ability to make the curves and all that kind of stuff. But that in no way was the state making any commitments to use state funds to supplement needs for the Central Corridor.
Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, listening to the discussion about all the problems with going north of the Capitol, I'd like one of you to review for me the arguments that were used against then going south of the Capitol. I'm not talking about South Rate.
You're talking like 11? Alternative two?
There really isn't a version here that would show it. You could take...
What about alternative two, number 11?
What I was looking at was alternative three, and where you're already turning south, but west of the Capitol, and then taking it around that ring road and back over and connect with what your plan is on the east side with your preferred plan. You don't really have what I'm envisioning here, but you avoid the tunneling, you avoid the vibration, you avoid all kinds of problems with University Avenue. You also leave the potential for development north of the Capitol if you go south. And yes, there would be the view of the train every once in a while if you were going south along the ring road. I'm talking about the street. I don't know what the name of it is, actually, even though I've been here for a number of years, that would be that semicircular street just south of the Capitol, about halfway between there and the Veterans Building.
Where all the buses park.
Yes, Madam Chair, I think Representative Carlson, I think you're talking about taking it across Martin Luther King Boulevard and over to... I'm not quite sure how it would serve the East Campus.
I wish I could.
It's the street that goes in. It divides
you'd
the campus.
Connect in with.
Divides the mall in half.
Yeah, you'd connect in with your plan, alternative five, but you would be just dropping it south of the Capitol and ringing around, running around over and connecting in with.
Yep.
Alternative five, but you would avoid all those problems with University Avenue. You would have the train periodically within view on the mall, but I'm not sure that that's worse than all the problems that we're talking about and the noise and the aesthetic distractions from the front door of the Capitol. You know, when you've been here before, I remind people that the front door of the Capitol, technically, as Cass Gilbert designed it, is University Avenue.
Madam Chair, Representative Carlson, speaking for the Cap Board at least, and I think Steve might have other things. The minute you bring it down to the south of the Capitol, be it across the mall on the state space or on Martin Luther King Boulevard, first of all, if you took it all the way down, the grade changes become excessive, and you'd have to even make further cuts across pedestrian space and across Cedar Street, et cetera. In addition, we received very, very serious serious concerns from Capitol Security and others. The minute you've got it, the LRT in the Capitol grounds, and it's at surface level, not buried like it was when it was underneath the platform, underneath the decked Capitol Mall improvements when it was on I-94, and it came under a new plaza. You have serious safety issues for all pedestrians, people gathering on the Capitol grounds for any events because of the regularity of the trains, and you have the same grade issues that you have behind the Capitol, plus you impact the many, many bus routes that cross the campus.
Madam Chair, I
Representative Carlson.
Sitting here thinking about the safety comment and thinking of light rail in downtown Minneapolis and all the pedestrian traffic. I'd be hard pressed to think it would be greater on the Capitol grounds.
Madam Chair, Representative Carlson, the difference here is you've got gatherings of thousands of pedestrians, and if they're standing, if you've got 1,000 people standing, or if you had a spillover or something anywhere, you know, I would say a good, you know, maybe 20% to 30% of the rallies that take place at the Capitol, you would have to make sure that the rallies are self-contained or even fenced off from the station because the spillover would be at risk. Whereas it's not just pedestrians crossing the traffic, and you also have the issue of the grade because it would have to be cutting into the grade of Martin Luther King, and if you take it further down that street.
Well, I was, Madam Chair, interested in hearing what the arguments were. I'll just comment that I was at the Gopher game on Saturday, and I took the light rail, and talk about a crowd gathering at the station going in both directions and mulling around waiting for the train. I would be still hard-pressed to see where it would be much greater safety risk here. And, yes, maybe you'd have to put up a temporary fence if you had a big 4th of July celebration or something, but... I'm just mulling over all those problems on university. I'm just not totally sold on the various solutions that are before us relative to University Avenue, unless we turned it farther north off of university somehow, but that would probably increase the costs. As I mentioned before, at one time there was a ring road proposed where you would turn University Avenue north and create a mall area north of the Capitol.
Madam Mr. Chair, Furman. I'd like to also respond to Representative Carlson's question. And some version of Alternative 3 that you've identified does essentially eliminate the Capitol East station. And one of the key attributes of the current preferred alignment is that the existence of that east side station is very accessible to the Regents Hospital complex, a large employer, and they are now... partly due to the expectation of Central LRT investing $179 million in expanding their hospital campus and physical plant there.
But I would hasten to say part of that expansion is a huge parking ramp, so they expect many people are going to come by car for that expansion. So I guess I would challenge that.
The way I was sketching it out here, that station would have remained on the east side. I was tying it in. Well, it's just difficult. And maybe after the meeting I'll show you what I'm talking about. But I was tying it in just east of the Capitol and then dropping it down on the route that you were planning. So I was only eliminating the university area and going south of the Capitol and coming back up and then tying it in and leaving all of what you were planning for the needs of the hospital, the east side, and all of that. But I'll stop at this point, Madam Chair.
Perhaps we could, do you have, I think, a conclusion yet of your presentation?
Yes, Madam Chair. I just wanted to finish out with the kind of the continuing and closing out the discussion line that we've been talking about the last 10 minutes as to pedestrian access, pedestrian circulation here around the Capitol building and particularly to the north. So on your slide 25, you'll see first off, the existing pedestrian tunnels underneath University Avenue, the parking lots that you asked about, the northwest and northeast corners of the Capitol building, and we'll still preserve access to those. As I mentioned, we will close off pedestrian access across University Ave from Capitol Boulevard, directly north of the Capitol. And then I think it's important to highlight that there's still very good pedestrian circulation and access from the north side of University Avenue, whether that be Rice to the west, Martin Luther King immediately northwest of the Capitol, or via the Cedar Street Cass-Gilbert Bridge on the northeast side of the Capitol. To get folks from the north side today, and as additional state investments are made to the north of University Avenue, that access still is very decent to get into the Capitol building and Capitol complex.
Members, I had intended to bring you the historic photos of the last time the Capitol Mall had the discussion of moving rail. And that was the original trolley went right in front of the Capitol, and they moved it to the road that Representative Carlson is talking about. And we have all of those historic photos. That was a major debate at the time about how far away from the Capitol they might be able to move that. Good sense of history there.
Yep.
On the Capitol Mall.
To close out, Madam Chair and members, we continue to work very closely, particularly with the CAP board staff, with Mr. Mandel and Ms. Stark and their advisors, to refine our alignment details in terms of what the station will look like there at Rice Street and Capitol East. The specifics on the shallow cut that we've discussed today, and we want to make the best possible connection and access that LRT can bring to the state's business here at the Capitol and adjacent facilities.
Representative Loeffler has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a couple of points just before our guests leave, and that is, I still haven't heard a good discussion of how you intend to have pedestrian circulation occur when people get off on the station that's going to be in the park area right now. I'm hoping we'll preserve as much of that park as we possibly can. And also, I'm not very familiar with who all is using Lot N. I think that is our disabled access house parking, as opposed to Lot O. And was there any consideration of closing off Lot N and not building a new road into it, transferring those users to Lot O, and then maybe potentially free up some money for some of the other issues that we've raised here? Because, and I don't know how many spaces are in each of those, but if you could tell us a little bit about that, and then I'd like to follow up with a question about the arts budget for this section.
Who's taking that one?
Well, Madam Chair, I'll start on the first question, Representative Loeffler, and that is the connection from the Rice Street station there, which is essentially on the south curb or curb nearest to Leif Erickson Park. And while we're still working on those design details, our access to and from that station will be at grade. It's an at grade station, and so existing sidewalk and pathways into the state office building or Capitol, those connections would be made from the two ends of the platform. I know there's been some discussion, and again, CAP board staff will have to respond about any kind of connection to the tunnel underneath to and from the Ford building facility. You did ask about how much property that's going to be taking of the green space there. We've minimized that. There is a small sliver of it against the south curb, and we've reviewed that with CAP Board and with the State Historic Preservation Officer, and they have agreed that our impact there is de minimis and that they support the location of the Rice Street station at that location.
Anything further?
And then, well, the question was also about Lot N.
Right.
Madam Chair, Wayne Wislowski might want to also comment on this from Department Administration, because they've also been intimately involved, but we are told that Lot N we need to maintain, if nothing else, even if there's no parking there, we need to maintain emergency access for fire department purposes. Mm-hmm. So something needs to there needs to be some means of access, even if it's not a parking lot per se, for that corner of the Capitol building. And with that as a given, then we decided to create the minimum impact on it, actually saving the money of taking the lot out, because there is it is over a an electrical wall, providing access off of Martin Luther King for the emergency access for the disabled, as well as for other users who use that lot.
And then my last question was, I think I saw something being announced about how they were already seeking ideas for art developments along the line and those sorts of things. And, you know, this is all of Minnesota's campus. And it seems to me how the design of the station is conducted, what the railings are like on the north side of the Capitol, all of that will impact whether or not this looks like just sort of a industrial grade sort of intervention to make sure people don't fall into the tracks, or really it is an enhancement that really kind of honors the beauty of the campus as well. And I would hope that there's some very serious discussion about putting a significant amount of the design budget for both the station, the railings, and artwork to this end of the mall and of the route. But I'm wondering how those decisions are being made and what influence the CAP board or others would have about that.
I know the one meeting I attended that where the artists were in attendance and others, there was a little bit of a disagreement between the Met Council and the artists. The artists didn't want to sort of be bound and say, well, we have to have a piece of art at each stop. Rather, we want, in an artistic way, to tell the story that this is a corridor that joins two great cities, and what you're adding is a different, another dimension. And so I think the artists on the project would resonate with what you're saying, and that is that it not just necessarily be seen as something that where we spend money in a stop with an art piece, but rather artistically try to tell the direction of what we're tying together. I don't know if they've had any further discussion, Mr. Furman, about that.
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, and members, just a quick update. Met Council, in its meeting at the tail end of October a couple weeks ago, they did approve award of 5 public artist contracts, and each of those artists would be responsible for 3 stations up and down the alignment. So we've identified that. We've identified the total resources available for public art commissions to those 5 artists, and that would equal $2.8 million of actual art components. And the next important process piece is our project office has made a call out to the community for volunteers to serve on our station art committees. And those will be seated by the end of this month, and they'll begin to meet in early December, where project architects and staff will be meeting with members of the community to hear about the history and some of the important components that exist in those various neighborhoods up and down the alignment from Capitol Hill over to Minneapolis here. So we're very excited at the project office to learn more and hear more from the community members themselves on how they would like their special themes and their special history to be captured in public art elements that would be integrated into the station design.
A follow-up?
Representative Loeffler.
Mr. Furman, thank you. That helps me know it's moving very fast. And I think our station is going to have to be shared between the community and the state, because it serves both constituencies and both communities. But the other part of my concern was about the design and the investment in the railings, the feel as you're looking at north of the Capitol, which would not necessarily, it could be an art fence, it could be a very stately, more traditional thing, but who is going to have impact on deciding the look and feel of how that trench design and the barriers and all that interfaces with the surrounding area?
Madam Chair, Representative, again, that's going to be influenced by the participants and input we hear from this Station Art Committee. the ultimate review and approval of that, given the project's lead sponsor is Met Council, will reside with the Met Council. You cited railings. That's one key element amongst many others that we open to being influenced by the public art and how that ultimately is going to look like. So we haven't prescribed anything or predicted what the outcome of that is because we really haven't had the full engagement and heard fully from the community what they would like to see at these stations.
Justice Anderson.
If Representative Holbrook has a follow-up on that, I'll defer.
I would assume that the CAP board is going to have the ability to veto this, just as any other structures in the capital area, so that the CAP board is going to have to approve the railings, the stations, to maintain the integrity of the capital area. Is that correct?
That was a yes.
And that's it.
Justice Anderson.
I'm haunted a little bit by the question asked early on by Representative Hausman about some of the problems that they've had in Portland, and I'm not sure I got a good answer. Is it just the grade is in a range of 1% less? Somebody is telling us that this is going to work, and I really would like a very specific answer as we go forward because this body makes decisions. Who is saying the design is going to work? I mean, what name? Who do I? I've been enough.
We're going to hold them accountable.
I want the record to show who's saying it's going to work. Who is?
Madam Chair, Justice, that would be me. I work for the Metropolitan Council and with Metro Transit. And the way the legislation reads is that Met Council, Met Transit will be the designer, owner, and operator of the Central Corridor LRT line, and that was recently ratified in executive order from Governor Pawlenty's office. So that is the Met Council, and that responsibility resides with me and my team, who is designing and ultimately our rail operators who are going to operate this line. What I didn't mention in my previous response on the Portland question is our trains on Hiawatha today and future Central are designed with an automatic sanding system. So there's a computer that will tell the train car if the train wheel starts to slip a little bit on the rail, it will dispense a little bit of sand abrasive in front of each of the train wheels to create additional traction as that train goes up and down any grade in a slick condition.
So just to follow up, all of the proposals that you said will work. And you stand behind that?
As Madam Chair and Justice Anderson, as we've discussed today and as we are designing, yes, it will be workable.
Have you concluded?
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Were there any others on our agenda who intended to testify?
Not the three of you.
Ms. Hartnett.
Yeah, thank you. I just had a question with the questions about the grading and I'm with the Commission for Deaf, Blind, and Hard of Hearing, and our concerns are primarily with a lot of the Capitol complex for visual and accessibility, but also physical accessibility. But with the stations, with the art, just ensuring that the art that is there is accessible to all. Have the members of the disability community, who are accessibility specialists, been invited to be part of that arts committee for the stations? Just curious. I didn't know that group existed until we discussed this today, so I was just curious.
Mr. Furman.
Yes, Madam Chair. Again, we continue to work closely with the community member. Margaret Cross and Dickey is not with the group today, but she does sit on our Citizens Advisory Committee, okay, as well as a couple other folks from the ADA community. And so we engage them and to the point about trying to create similarity and continuity station to station, one of the lessons learned from Hiawatha is let's create the station platform footprint to be the same station to station to station. Mm-hmm. On Hiawatha, we didn't abide by that, so we've got some negative feedback from particularly the blind community about not knowing where to find the ticket machine when they get up on a platform because it's in different locations, different stations on Hiawatha. So we're going to make that much more uniform with the station layout, where the ticket machines are, where the waiting benches are, where the passenger waiting shelters are for the central stations.
Thank you.
Well, members, thank you very much. Senator Rest and I have met several times since our last meeting to try to figure out how do we get this group to a point where we either end our work or move somewhere. And you have in your packet some questions, and these are primarily the work of Senator Rest's office and her staff, but we've had a chance to talk about them in some detail, and we met with Mr. Kramer about those. And they address House and Senate. And, of course, not everybody on this this committee is House and Senate. But last year, you may recall, we actually paid a facilitator to try to figure out, because the House and the Senate have had a very different point of view about this. And obviously that didn't get us really any further than we had been before. And so we're going to try another direction. And so we have put together some questions, and I think for, I don't know how the Senate will choose to, but I think for the House, I'm hoping that maybe we could all sit down together, and Representative Lanning and Representative Murphy, I don't know if you're going to be down here sometime, but we'll call you about that. But the idea would be to do some thinking very intentionally about a set of questions and what were our expectations, our understandings. What I would suggest for those of you who are not House or Senate is that you might look at the same set of questions and from your own perspective if you want to also provide observation about where we are, what were your expectations, what are they now? And I would think even, I would suggest, though we don't say it here, that administration, meaning the governor's office, admin, cap board, try to perhaps do something similar, to do some homework, in other words, before we come back, and then determine, does this get us anywhere to a point where we have any sense of forward movement? Because then I think we would ultimately have to decide what is this group going to do. Of course, it's at a time when the economy is going to be even worse than when we started this process, so I suppose that grim reality is also there. But so if this, you know, if as you do your work, you want to be a little freeform and venture off from this, but at least we thought if we asked some questions that might trigger some thought. So we'll do our homework. Everyone is invited to do it, and then we'll be in touch with all of you about a December meeting. So if you're House or Senate, you'll be hearing from somebody. If you are other, you can, on your own, look at these questions and reflect. And it does seem to me, though we didn't ask Mr. Kramer that it might be a helpful exercise for the governor's office, admin, CAP board to do a similar kind of exercise, if that would work. Justice Anderson.
If I may make a comment, at least half of these questions were on my mind as I was preparing for this meeting, and I want to thank you for putting those together because, I mean, we're all busy people,
and
some of us care very deeply about the Capitol, but if it's not going to do anything, there's other things to do. So thank you for putting those together. I very much appreciate it.
We do think it's a sort of defining moment that we have to come to grips with.
Madam Chair, if you can just have these sent out by email, it'd be easier to work from electronic file. And
we'll do that to all members. You've got the email list, so we'll do that to all members of the committee. Any further discussion? If not, that homework I hope gets us to some point of where this is going to end. Was there a hand here?
Well, Madam Chair, I was thinking about the visitor amenities that we talked about with the Capitol Restoration Working Group and thinking about the visitors we'll have coming in from the north now.
And I'm wondering if we should think a little about having similar amenities to the north by the new light rail stop by the Capitol, either possibly as a small freestanding facility on the existing parking lots or parking ramp there, or something tied into the administration building, which is not that far from the stop. I'm thinking primarily of information desk, accessible restrooms, maybe some meeting rooms to talk to groups that are visiting the Capitol, some very basic amenities. Not to take the place of what we're talking about with this Capitol Restoration Group, but to make it easier for those folks coming in from the north. And quite honestly, we could probably accomplish that a lot sooner than we can with the Capitol Restoration Group, because even if we decide to do the Capitol Restoration Group, that's going to take several years, probably many years, for that to be completed. And as long as we're doing something with light rail now, we could probably facilitate new amenities to the north here a lot faster and with less expense. That's just a thought that occurred to me as we were sitting here. I don't know if it has value or not. But
I made a note of it. Senator Roebling.
Thank you. And in relation to that, you know, we always have the security issue, and security sometimes saying the least points of entry, the better off we are, because it's easier to staff and secure. You know, we'll have to continue to try and think of it. There are very few people who come in from the north entry now, and you know, so where the information desk is currently works fairly well. But if we ever have to get to the point where we have to have secured entries everywhere, you know, we'll have to think about how do those. We hate to send them around the whole building, but what do you do so that you can make it work? I was at the California State Capitol not too long ago, and even there they just have one main entry that everyone has to pass through, and you have to go through the electronic equipment and everything. But it is a little bit of a challenge if you don't know where you're going to figure out where you should be going.
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, that's actually an excellent point. One thing that we've been looking at is related to the future tunnel connection, is having a pedestrian tunnel system. And so you could potentially see that going from Lot B over around by the Rice Street Station and then working your way over to the front of the Capitol, which was intended to be the visitor entry point. So that was something that we were looking at in connection with the tunnel system as well.
And then, of course, the issue we talked about today, I mean, the underlying issue there is the timing of anything that might happen relative to the Capitol complex and LRT. And until I realized that it is this, I'll stop calling it a trench. What is it?
Shallow.
Shallow cut. Once I realized that became even more crucial for us to figure out. And so as you talk, that might be another thing you could just throw in here. Representative Loeffler.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm just really still very convinced that we need to build our future capacity in, and before those final bid documents are finalized this winter. And if we don't meet again to talk about this, I just am totally convinced that we need to have multiple tunnel access points built into the structure, even if we can't do the rest of it, that it's there, and that it provides for growth north of the campus. It allows for the separating of, you know, the utility tunnels from the public tunnels and those sorts of things. And it's just, it seems to me it's going to be fairly inexpensive in comparison to trying to do it later. If we're to have, you know, I'm envisioning, and I'm not an engineer, but big cement culvert type things that are just laid under there that you can connect up at some point, as opposed to if we try and do it later in the future, it'll be disruptive to transportation. It'll be very, very expensive. And it seems like while everything's being torn up, even if we don't know what our North Campus plan is going to be, I think we ought to create some options.
Representative Lanning and Representative Murphy, if you are still with us, we will get these questions that we're talking about out to you via email, And if there are no further
thank you
questions,
yeah, I'm still here.
Any questions, Representative Lanning?
No, good discussion.
Okay. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.
Give you a heads up. This is the next
meeting.
Is capital.